Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jonnu Smith getting in the end zone early yesterday.
What a player. Guy's a stud. It's like they created the perfect tight end for the Miami Dolphins.
I wonder.
Jonnu Smith.
I haven't really thought about Bill Belichick in a while because the Patriots have been playing better. We haven't, we haven't been debating whether or not Bill was going to rip into the team. Here's a week
Bill's
where Bill rips into him.
A lot to say.
And he's probably going to pat himself on the back for Jonnu Smith, too.
Yep.
Like, oh, what a season he's having. And we saw it when he was in New England and this and that and this and that.
Like you did not.
That will probably happen with Bill.
He had as many touchdowns yesterday as he did in two seasons with the Patriots. So you did. You might have seen something, but you were not able to get him going at all.
You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. It's a Patriots Monday. We already talked to Hunter Henry. We're going to talk to Christian Gonzalez coming up. We'll take a spin around the NFL. Wild day.
Woo!
In the NFL.
There's a lot happening.
I feel like we throw that around often.
No.
I really mean it today.
Agreed.
Wild day in the NFL. If you missed any of it, we'll take you around the NFL and what happened. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Biggest second guess, Keith, for the coaching staff yesterday?
I think you could probably put it on going back to practice, right? With the Wednesday, you decide like, we'll go soft and we'll go unpadded. And
so
then
let me tell you, I thought that was weird in real time, but I didn't think a ton of it. I'm just that's rare.
Henry seemed to think that that happens, but he obviously didn't really add too much to it.
Look, Hunter Henry's not going to blow up the coaching staff, I don't think. You know, he wasn't even going to blow up the locker room. He said after the game that he didn't notice any of the laughter in the locker room, and maybe he didn't. I mean,
maybe
I don't think he's saying it didn't happen necessarily, although actually he did. He said people are trying to get clicks or whatever.
Yeah, they're doing it for the likes and clicks.
Yeah, Mark Daniels.
Yeah.
And I'll side with the media on this. Multiple reporters in there were like, it was a weird locker room. I think Daniels is the only one that wrote about laughter specifically. But it was a weird locker room. So I didn't think much of
the likes and clicks.
I didn't think much, Keith,
yeah,
of the unpadded practice. I thought it was a little strange. But then I read Reese yesterday morning. He said some players were surprised when Mayo didn't have the players in full pads for the first Wednesday practice last week. One player noted that Sunday's matchup against the Dolphins is more about speed, so lightening the load would ideally have them best prepared to meet the challenge in that area. Players expect to be back in pads next Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Knowing a more physical run-based team in the Colts is coming to town. So players were surprised.
Yeah.
And here's what I would say. And Mayo was asked about this morning. I think it was in the press conference before Greg's interview, but I forget exactly where. He basically said, well, I thought it was the best thing to do. And even if it was about the team speed, well, fine. At least there was a reason for it.
Yeah.
But you better come out the next week when your team looks flat and not ready to go and completely outclassed. And by the way, Miami looked way faster than you. You couldn't tackle on top of it. You better come out and say, yeah, I don't know if that was the best move. I don't know that that got our team ready. That is a big second guess for me, Keith. Uh-huh. Beyond anything in-game, that's a big second guess for me. You went light last week. You didn't take it seriously last week. The players went out and didn't look like they took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They got blown off the field and then were laughing about it after the game. You set the culture. You set the agenda. I agree. That's a huge second guess after the fact.
Yeah, because it seems like this last four-game stretch where they've played all right is just that. Like, they've played all right. Like Drake May's been pretty good. There's been, like, a little bit of an uptick. But you're still 2-2, and you're coming off a loss. So, like, now's not the time to be like, hey, guys, we're good. We're just going to have, like, a glorified walkthrough here to get ready for the game. Like, no, it's like a division game. You should try to win. I mean, you're not going to make the playoffs, but you should still try to win as many games as possible. And I don't know, like, their attention to detail didn't seem to be there this week at all.
Yeah. I wonder why. You get to, you know, sleepwalk through a practice on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if that sets the tone for the week. It certainly looks that way. In retrospect, this is not a big gripe about mine or of mine, rather, in real time. But looking back, that's a major second guess. Did you have any in-game you didn't like? You talked
so
about
I
the fourth
like,
down.
Right off the rip, and I know you're basically at your own 40-yard line. So that's not ideal. You don't want to just give them the ball there. But this team needs a spark. They need something. And you have this dynamic quarterback. Why can't you look at the 2-point conversion that they ran? They're down by a million points. They ran this crazy creative 2-point conversion and they scored. So you have some tricks up your sleeve that are actually working, right? Like, it didn't seem like they had it at all for the first 5 weeks. Drake May comes in. Now all of a sudden they're throwing the ball to Vidarian Lowe. They're like running hook and ladders. Like, they're doing some different kind of creative stuff. And I just feel like, you know, you move the ball downfield a little bit and then it's, or you didn't move it at that point. My point is you're, what, at the 40-yard line. This is going to be a game. I don't think you're going to shut out the Dolphins. You're going to need to score some points. I just think it's such a shot in the arm to the offense to say, we believe in you. We think you can get a yard. And if you don't, really, what's the worst in it? What's the worst case? They score a touchdown? Well, they scored like four touchdowns in the game as it was.
Right.
So I would have gone for it there. It's not the craziest thing in the world. There have been other fourth downs that I wish they went for earlier in the year, more so than yesterday. But, no, that's another one I had
on
my list.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't feel strongly about that in real time. They actually ran a play, a design play. I think it was his only target of the game. It was definitely his only touch of the game for Jalen Polk on the play prior. And so it was a nice little play.
Yeah, right. You saw Polk and
you're like, yeah, you just never saw him again. Yeah. You didn't see Marcus Jones at all. I thought we were using Marcus Jones now that Alex Van Pelt Googled him and learned he plays on offense. You didn't use him. But so it's fourth and short. I didn't really mind that real time.
Yeah, it's not the most egregious one they've had.
But it does go back to setting a tone and building an identity and being consistent week to week. Are you going to be an aggressive team or are you going to be a passive team on offense? Because I've heard this criticism. Curran has made it. You can't be aggressive on defense with a zero blitz and then be passive on offense.
Good point. Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I think you can be more passive on offense and aggressive on defense. And I think at a high level, not that the Patriots are this, but like the 2000 Ravens were super aggressive on defense and the most conservative team ever on offense.
But that's also 2000 Ravens.
Right.
Have a bad defense.
It's an extreme example, but I'm just saying teams can do that. But week to week, some weeks they try to be aggressive on offense, some weeks they don't. And it was just uber conservative is what that move is. But I didn't mind that one. The double pass, just in its execution.
Yeah, that was, I'd like to see that. Look good in practice?
Even if Bourne gave it a better huck, and even if Stevenson gave it the effort to bend over and catch that thing, what was it going to go, 2 yards?
Maybe.
Like, there were a bunch of Dolphins ready to take him out. Even if they completed the pass, that would be a second guess for me.
Do you think Bourne,
back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
You think Bourne threw the pass in practice without shoulder pads? He's like, oh, this is easy. And then
maybe
they
practiced it on Wednesday without the shoulder. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Wednesday without the shoulder pads.
That's a problem.
So that would be a second guess for me. The Marcus Jones stuff, too, is just frustrating. I thought now he was going to be on offense, and they just completely leaned out of it.
Nope. Did not go there.
Not using it.
Did not go there at all.
Okay. Let's get to some phone calls. A lot of you waiting patiently. That would include Mark in Medford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. So we've been seeing every week this team continues to shoot themselves in the foot with penalties. And also, guys, Gerard Mayo is not a good coach. I don't think he'll ever be a good coach. And on a side note, real quick, in my opinion, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the most fraudulent 10-1 team I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, well, we can get to the Chiefs and what happened coming up.
Vikings in previous years, I think, were like 10-1. Steelers. There's been some more fraudulent teams.
It sounds like Mark did a lot of yelling at his TV over the weekend.
Yeah.
Either that or he's under the weather. Feel better out there, Mark.
It's going around.
But, I don't think Mayo's ever going to be a good coach either, which would be my biggest reason to say, yeah, it's embarrassing to fire him after 1 year, especially when you picked him out 5 years ago and you compared that process to choosing a wife. So, like, that's embarrassing, but what's more damaging?
Look at the last...
A little short-term embarrassment?
Yep.
Or doing this again next year?
They put up the graphic yesterday during the game of first 11 games for the last four Patriots head coaches, what the records were. And the only one with a winning record was Pete Carroll. Of course, he inherited the best team out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see those guys up there, you're like, all right, look at their resumes coming into the job. Bill Parcells had been a Super Bowl winning head coach. So, all right, put him off to the side. Both Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick were recognized as like defensive geniuses. Pete obviously was also a guy that was like a rah-rah guy, player coach, that guy, the opposite of Bill. But there was like an established track record with him. With Bill, it was obvious. Even if you wanted to call Cleveland, you know, a failure, I don't think it was a failure, that's too strong. But if you wanted to say not a success in Cleveland, all right, defensive coordinator to shut down the keg on offense. Like, give him credit for that.
I would call him a failure in Cleveland, by the way.
That's fine. But my point is, at that point, you at least knew what you were hoping to get was a guy that might have been one of, even then, in 2000, one of the best defensive minds. Gerard Mayo, I don't know what he is. He never called plays because it was like, he was never a defensive coordinator. He was an inside linebackers coach. All right, there are times where you play like one inside linebacker on the field or whatever, but that's not the point. The point is, I don't know what he does. I don't know if he is really a player's coach or not. He's clearly not an X's and O's guy, but I don't think he's a motivational guy either, because that's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell gets credit for that.
Right.
Because I'm sure when they hired him, you're like, all right, what's your deal? I think you can see every press conference like what his deal is. And then when they show those post-game locker room things, when Dan Campbell's like hyping up the whole team, they play for him.
Oh,
they
like
him.
Yeah.
And then he's got good coordinators around him, which obviously helps. Gerard Mayo is not like flush with great coaches on his staff, which doesn't help him. But I also don't know what his main skill set is.
It's a good point. I saw that graphic yesterday. I didn't think a ton about it. But where do you think that graphic came from? Like, did that come right from Robert? Like, as justification for we're gonna stick with Mayo? Like,
that's them fighting back at Belichick and Lombardi and Patricia laughing at him.
And you heard at one point, did you guys hear this? Spiro Ditas on the broadcast said,
oh,
he always stops by the truck. He's always very happy, this and that. I mean, that
even
could be
the sideline reporter talking about, like, oh, like this season and, like, you know, where they're going to go from here and what they're looking to find guys. What do you say? Like, challenge guys for like upcoming, like for next season.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wouldn't start talking about next season.
Get through the clouds to bluer skies.
Thank you.
Mayo did a
get
bunch of
the
that.
Clouds.
Mayo did a bunch of that with Greg this morning too. Like, oh, I'll learn from this and I'll get better next year.
Is that right?
I don't know that you're getting
are
it
you
next
sure
year.
About that,
but
that
graphic may have been justification. I hadn't thought about that. Like, oh, well, Bill was bad his first year, and Pete Carroll ended up being a good head coach.
Exactly what they were doing.
Bill Parcells was terrible his first year, and look at what happened.
But look at what all of them were when you hired him.
Yeah.
And then even with Pete, honestly, like, if you saw you changed Parcells, now that was a different situation. You probably didn't want to move on from Parcells. He packed his stuff and went to the Jets. But you're like, oh, Pete, even year one didn't maximize the talent. His team was loaded. Didn't maximize the talent. Then got a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse.
Dubs, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Dubs 985 in the Twitch chat. You guys give RKK a lot of credit for what goes on TV / is leaked to the media. Well, he's helps negotiate the television contracts.
Yeah.
He's stopping by the trucks, as we found out yesterday.
They show him for owning the worst team in the league. They
show
him
all the time.
Yeah.
And so, look, I'm just speculating. I hadn't even thought about this till Keith brought up that graphic, but is that like a hand-picked thing?
Yes.
From Kraft or Stacey James or whoever.
Yeah.
And hey, just make sure, like, Mayo's struggling his first year, but, you know, Parcells struggled, and so did Bill Belichick.
Same record as Bill.
Same. So, I had not thought about that. That's a good observation. Nick is in Florida. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was at that debacle yesterday. It was embarrassing. But the reason I was calling, and hopefully you guys can help me out, is second quarter, my seats were in the end zone. It seemed like the ball was the other end the entire second quarter. So at least I was like, when they switch to the second half, if, you know, Miami continues to have their way with us, the action will be down my end of the field. They come back out in the second half, and they're going the same direction as they were the second quarter. And I've been watching football for 40 years, and I'm pretty sure they're supposed to switch directions every quarter, but they went the same direction in the second and third quarter.
Okay, so I'll be honest, I'm oblivious to this. I don't think that mattered one way or the other. Was wind a big factor? Was weather a big factor yesterday, Keith?
I don't really know.
I'll have to go back in and check. This. I was hung up on the Patriots giving up touchdowns on or scoring plays rather on four consecutive possessions rather than the direction they were going.
We'll look into it. We'll have all our best guys on it.
I wasn't on my P's and Q's yesterday. I was doing a lot of dipping into red zone in the second half of that game.
That's on you.
Yeah, that is.
I stuck it out. I watched this whole debacle.
Shame on me. I missed a detail like that. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback on the Patriots. Rob Mayo's job security. We'll get back to Drake May as well. His struggles yesterday with the turnovers. How big of an issue are those? But let's get to week 12 in the NFL, a spin around the league. And what happened after?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Trending with Billy Laney.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
Oh, boy. Week 12 in the NFL. I'm eating some of the pizza that was here from Friday.
I didn't want to say anything, but
no, it's fine.
It sounded like a full mouth over there.
I'm scarfing it down. You kind of snuck up on me a little bit. But, Jones.
That's from the Trading Post. You're liking that?
Right,
Trading Post and Bourne. Lovely. There's still some left over from Friday. I didn't know that was in the fridge. You sniffed that out.
I'm going to be back in here with wings in a little bit. Don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm making up for lost time here on Friday. But, Jones, busy weekend as they all are. Of course, Pats played the Dolphins. Both the Bills and the Jets were on the bye week, so no other AFC East action to talk about. But what about the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Carolina Panthers?
What happened?
Believe it or not, it came all the way down to a last-second field goal.
The kick. Schrader. He knocks it through. The Chiefs are a winner today in Charlotte.
Yep. I think he was looking for something more dramatic to say, and then ultimately it was just like, I'll just say what happened.
They're a winner.
Chiefs get to 10-1 with a 30-27 win over the Panthers. No Harrison Butker, no problem, as they still get the game winner with their backup kicker. Panthers had this game won, or at least you thought maybe there'd be overtime. Chiefs march all the way down the field and score. But we had a caller, Jones, mention how fraudulent the Chiefs are.
That was Mark Medford, I believe, said they're the most overrated 10-1 team in history.
They're the only 10-1 team currently.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not true. The Lions are 10-1, right?
They have not played great in some of these games. I'd be nervous as a Chiefs fan. Like, we'd be ripping them all day long, I'm sure, after the game if we were doing radio in Kansas City. I will say this. You knew when Kansas City gave up the touchdown to Carolina, when Carolina scored.
Yeah.
And then they get the two-point conversion. You knew. It was too much time for Mahomes.
Way too much.
Like, that was like a minute and a half, a minute 40, something like that.
He had looked good. Noah Gray had a couple of touchdowns already. Hopkins scored a touchdown as well. But, the Chiefs get the win. Now, what separates that?
That right? Did they go for two?
Yeah.
They did, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was going to say, it. I was like, should they have gone for two to get the win? No, they got the two.
They needed it, and they got it.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs, to me, I can't call them like a fraudulent 10-1 team. They might not be great. But, like, the 2018 and 2019 Patriots both looked off. but then one won the Super Bowl. The other obviously didn't in 2019. So if you want to say they're more like that, but the reason I say them is because you had Tom Brady or you had Patrick Mahomes. Like saying they look like one of the Steeler teams or one of the Viking teams or teams that are like a fake 10-1. It's like, yeah, but you still have the guy. And you saw what happened in this one. Carolina's not great, but Carolina's frisky. Aren't they frisky?
They're kind of frisky.
They kind of are frisky.
I mean, don't sleep on Bryce. Since Bryce Young got benched, he's looking okay. Not great, but he's looking okay.
And he actually had a good attitude about it. He didn't like pout like most guys in the league would do. Yeah. So anyway, Chiefs survive and get the win over the Panthers. What about the Titans and the Texans?
Hey, what happened?
Okonkwo, he's got some inside Texans territory. Inside the 35, 30, 25, 20. He may go. Stiff arm, end zone. Touchdown, Titans.
One of two touchdown passes for Will Levis as the Titans go into Houston and upset your Texans.
Not a good day for my Texans.
Squad.
That was a rough one.
Can you say shooketh now?
Yeah, they're shooketh. Yeah, you lose to Tennessee, you're shooketh. That is for sure.
They're 7-5 now.
Start with those two teams, Keith. Tennessee wins against Houston. Carolina was on the brink of forcing overtime against the Chiefs. Like, you know, talk about a moral victory. But those two teams gave you a good effort, and then the Patriots did what they did yesterday.
Massive wins, too, if you are a – let's take a look at the draft leaderboard.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots are now 3-9. Tennessee and Carolina both 3-8. I know Carolina lost, but I'm saying they're both 3-8 right now. The Titans look horrible most weeks. I know they beat the Patriots, but they look horrible most weeks. And beat a Houston Texans team, which – something's off with them. It kind of has been all year.
They're going to sleepwalk into the playoffs, but yeah, they might not be a team you got to worry about in the playoffs.
No,
that's for sure.
They'll probably get rocked by.
I was too high on them. That was a bad loss.
Won't they play like Baltimore or something to start the playoffs? It'll be something like that, and they'll get trucked.
Yeah, that's who they played last year, and Baltimore beat them. But yeah, look, Lamar in the first round of the playoffs, not scary.
That's a good point. What about an AFC West matchup between the Broncos and the Raiders? Well, people, I think, really should start to believe.
First and goal, next to the air. Caught, Sutton, touchdown! He's done it again! Number two today!
Calling it now, Bo Nix is going to be your offensive rookie of the year.
I was just going to ask you. So I was going to ask you in the rookie of the year race, which I think is easy, Nix or May? Nix.
Nix.
You're saying he's going to win it over Daniels.
I think so. I think, and we'll get to the Commanders game coming up.
I was going
to
say, for most of that game yesterday, I would agree with you, and then it finished with quite a flurry. But
no,
yeah, I mean,
Daniel's stats at the end of it looked pretty good. I just feel like one's going to make the playoffs and one's not. I feel like the Commanders are playing their way out of the playoffs.
They are
sinking ships.
They're absolutely in trouble.
I think it's had more to do with that. Plus, he hasn't played as well. Like, he got out to such an overwhelming lead that I think if people are really paying attention, and if Nix finishes strong, even if they go, 3-5 down the stretch and he gets 10 wins and they make the playoffs?
Yeah, your guy Nix has been good. And they're what? They're two games up on Miami, two wins ahead of Miami anyway. They're three wins up on Cincinnati, so they really should be a playoff team.
16 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions, but he also has touchdown runs. He has a touchdown catch this year. So
very versatile.
He's very versatile.
A Marcus Jones of quarterbacks.
I would agree with that. And they didn't have to tell Sean Payton he could do all that.
That's
he
a
knew
good point.
Coming in.
He just knew.
He could do that. What about the Lions and the Colts?
What happened?
Goff hands it off. Gibbs cuts to the outside, to the end zone. Touchdown, his second today.
The Sonic and Knuckles combo is impossible to stop at this point.
It really is.
Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery score touchdowns every single week. Gibbs had two. Montgomery had one. Lions win another comfortable 24-6 over the Colts. So Detroit, like Kansas City, 10-1. And the way this season has gone for Detroit, it feels like it's going to be even more soul-crushing when they don't win the Super Bowl.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No.
Why?
Because it's Detroit.
Okay, that's fair.
That's probably the only reason.
That's about the only reason you can't. You can
and
take Goff.
And Goff.
Okay, so those are the two. It's still Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Some of us started him in fantasy yesterday and we're praying for touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's still Jared Goff.
Yeah, it's Goff.
It is still the city of Detroit.
It's just something about it.
But they are, I think, clearly the best roster, the best team in football. It's not.
They're amazing.
I shouldn't say it's not close because we'll get to a team that's playing really good football as well. But no, the only question with the Sonic and Knuckles combination is they're going to score every
week. How many?
Which one's going to get two?
Yeah.
Like last week it was Montgomery. This week it was Gibbs. That's really the only question. Which one gets in the end zone twice? Because they're both scoring every week.
I think it needs to be Detroit versus Buffalo in the Super Bowl. for them to have a chance, because then it's like both fan bases are like, we're not going to win. We're never going to win.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to win.
Super Bowl's a tie.
It could be. Like, if it was Buffalo-Detroit, I feel like that could absolutely happen.
Six overtimes, it never ends. Yeah.
What about the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears?
Hey, what happened?
Well, this one went to overtime.
For the win. Good snap. Good hold. Good kick. And the Minnesota Vikings win it in overtime.
These guys find a way. Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings are 9-2 as they go to overtime with the Bears, and they hand Chicago their seventh loss of the year. Chicago's 4-7.
Yeah, they're probably never winning again. We were early on that.
Oh, their schedule's insane.
Jefferson did nothing yesterday, right?
No. Yeah, Jordan Addison had a big game.
So that's what's impressive to me about that win. And it's not like they ran away from Chicago's close game, but they were able to win, getting really nothing from Justin Jefferson. That's pretty impressive. I will say Caleb Williams has looked better since they fired Shane Waldron.
100%.
They're still not winning games, but that was a good couple of drives to get back into the game and force overtime for him yesterday.
340 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions for Caleb Williams. So no turnovers. After watching him play against the Patriots, you're like, oh my God, like this guy, there's something
really
wrong.
He might not be
here.
Able to play in the league.
And no, he's definitely bounced back from that. Sam Darnold also had a good game. 330, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles. So good job by Sam Darnold, who I believe they said is now at 20 touchdowns, which is a new single season career high for Sam Darnold.
That makes sense.
With 5 games to play.
That's not a high number, but for his career, that makes sense. Well, I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
They have 6 games to play. They've already had their bye.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. All right, 49ers and Packers.
What happened?
Like every conference championship or divisional round from the mid-90s.
With Jacobs in the eye, he'll get it. Jacobs chuck it in. Touchdown number 2 of the day.
I don't know why they had to call that game from the bathroom, but they did. Josh Jacobs scored not once, not twice, but thrice as the Packers blew out the 49ers 38-10. Green Bay's 8-3. San Francisco falls to 5-6. They played this one without Brock Purdy. It was Brandon Allen in it, quarterback, but it really was never competitive, and the Packers dominated.
So here's what I would say about San Francisco. Yesterday they didn't have Purdy. You don't expect them to go on the road and win with Brandon Allen.
They didn't have anybody.
Who was terrible. Okay, so yesterday might have been about injuries for them. Their year has not been about it. Something's been off with them from the start.
Yeah,
I know
they
lost Ayuk. I know McCaffrey missed a ton of time. Kittle's missed games. Samuel's missed games. So they have had injuries. Those guys also pretty much always miss time over the years.
Oh,
and
they
don't fall off like this. Something's been off with that team from the start. Yesterday was about injuries. You lose your quarterback. You play a bum like Allen. That was about injuries. But I'm not letting them off the hook for how bad they've been this year and how much they've underachieved.
All right, what about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Giants?
What happened?
Mayfield steps up. He's going to run it. Mayfield at the 5, trying to get in, and he does! Touchdown! Ball came out after Mayfield crossed the line, and what a run for Baker Mayfield doing the Tommy DeVito.
So he gave him the double Tommy DeVito. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, mama mia.
Big time. He was asked about it after the game. He was like, oh, yeah, just giving a shout out to Tommy there. Like, great player or whatever. And one of the reporters in the thing asked him, are you Italian?
You told me this. I didn't hear this.
Baker Mayfield's response was, well, I haven't done the 23andMe yet. I don't know if she's like trying to cancel him for doing that.
Yeah,
or, like, I don't know where she was going with that question.
Yeah.
But
are you,
I like.
Are you even of Italian descent, Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, God, no, I shouldn't have said that. I like a cocky Baker Mayfield. This is like Heisman Trophy winning Baker Mayfield. He's feeling pretty good. Bucks are only 5-6, but they're still very much in the playoff race, and they dominated this game from tip to tail.
Well, and that is a team that I'll excuse the injuries because they hit at the exact
Evans
same time.
Godwin.
No Godwin, no Evans. They got Evans back yesterday. They won't get Godwin back. So I think they're still a live team in the NFC now that they've gotten Evans back. That was maybe the only bigger beatdown, I think, unless I'm missing something, the only bigger beatdown than the Pats game yesterday, because that was a real non-competitive blowout football game.
I mean, Packers-Niners was pretty bad that we just did. But all right, this was maybe the craziest game of the weekend, potentially, and that's saying something. Cowboys and Commanders. All right, I have a series of highlights to present to you.
Wow.
Let's start with some good special teams action from the Dallas Cowboys.
Line drive to Turpin, and it bounces through his legs. Here he comes. Kevontae Turpin spinning free. Here he goes. Fastest man in the NFL. Kevontae Turpin takes it all the way. Touchdown, Dallas.
Yes!
That's what you're looking for with the new kickoff rules. Do you know how many kick returns were in the Patriots-Dolphins game?
I'm going to guess zero.
Zero.
Was it actually?
Yeah, zero. This is pretty sick. It looked like he like went up 5 yards, hit the circle button, did like a random spin move, and then took off.
He kind of bobbled the catch.
Yeah, right. Not even clean.
He picked it up with one hand, yep. Which just looked badass. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, he started by...
he did like a weird...
Exactly.
And then nobody. And
tapping the circle button spin move and then just ran away. That play was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. This was a crazy game. This was an ugly game. It was 10-9 Cowboys going into the fourth quarter. So there really wasn't a whole lot doing. Ultimately, the Commanders are down by 7 points. They score a touchdown late in the game. You say, all right, what do? We've talked about this a lot. Do you go for two in the win or potentially the win? Or do you kick the point and just, you know, extend the game? What do? Well, Jones, they tried to kick the extra point.
Low snap. It is no good. And the worst special teams day in history has a fitting finish.
Well, it wasn't done then.
No.
Because the Washington Commanders then line up for an onside kick. Line up for an onside kick, kicking it to the Dallas Cowboys hands team when this happens.
Last time he went to the left. He goes straight ahead this time, and it's picked up, and that'll put the nail in the coffin. End-to-end, Wanye Thomas. Although you can make a pretty good argument he should have went down.
Yeah, you think?
The sideline was pissed.
So they're up by one.
Yeah.
He returns the onside kick for a touchdown, so then they kick the extra point. And now they're still only up by 8 points. So it's
with
still one possession.
Jaden Daniels, who threw a Hail Mary against Chicago. Yeah, he just hit the big play to McLaurin before. So, like, factor in who you're going against on the other side. His Hail Mary at the end of this game was about 10 yards short of the end zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a Mac Jones-esque duck.
Kendrick
I think
Warren.
He had to throw, like, 70 yards.
Yeah,
though.
No, it was a long throw. Yeah. So that was stupid to not go down. They ended up winning in spite of it. Did you think Washington should have gone for two there?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You think the Commanders should have gone for two? Yeah,
Seibert was missing kicks left and right.
You got Jaden Daniels. Yeah, I'm going for two. I'll be consistent on this. You got Jaden Daniels. You need.
I'll be consistent on this. If you were the Cowboys against Washington,
well,
you should
Cowboys
go for two in
no
that
brainer.
Situation.
Yeah.
I'm not going for two if I'm Washington.
Well,
it didn't work out, but I
should have made
that.
The one then. But they weren't able to do that. No, the bigger story, you know, I know the Cowboys, like, oh, wow, they're 4-7, Cooper Rush in a quarterback. Commanders have lost 3 straight games. They looked like they were going to maybe win that division, or at the very least be a lock playoff team. They are no longer a lock playoff
team.
I'm
definitely. I think we had him shook it last week.
I think so.
Okay, Washington or Tampa? Who's making the playoffs?
Tampa.
That's what I think.
Tampa, hell
although
yeah.
Tampa's 2 wins behind, that's also what I think they're far more likely to make the playoffs than Washington the way those two teams are
they
playing.
Do have a head-to-head win over them.
Oh,
Tampa
yeah?
does.
Yeah.
Tampa beat Washington, so even if they tie, and if they're the only tie, they can get in. You still have Arizona in there as well, but they didn't help themselves yesterday, Jones. Arizona and Seattle.
Hey, what happened?
Not one of Kyler Murray's finer games.
Murray keeps it. Murray being chased by Witherspoon. Oh. Floats for Wilson. Off target to Kobe Bryant. And there goes Kobe Bryant. With a house call for Seattle. And a Marshawn Lynch homage.
Kobe Bryant. I like that. I think he spells it differently, but still. Just sort of a weird game. 16-6. Your final. Seattle 6-5. Arizona 6-5. Every week we're trying to guess who wins that division. I still think it's going to be Arizona, but that was a pretty costly loss.
Yeah. I was going with the Rams, who we'll get to. They're not looking too hot either.
No,
but
I'll say that.
Arizona off the bye, flat. Flat as a pancake. Off the bye at home against Seattle, that's a bad sign for them.
Arizona has the Vikings.
Okay.
Seahawks.
Yep.
Patriots.
Well, that's a win.
Panthers.
Uh-huh.
Rams, Niners. Well, so
they definitely have 2 wins in there.
I was going to say, the last 2 weeks, though, like if they beat the Rams and the Niners, they're probably in. If they lose, then one of those teams will probably be in. Speaking of the Rams, this was Sunday Night Football. L.A. home taking on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, what happened?
Well, I think we have a new MVP candidate.
And he's got it, and he's got more, and he's going to go all the way. What a night, what a season, what a player.
Saquon Barkley, 255 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Again, highlighted to me this week, the New York Giants cut Daniel Jones after paying Daniel Jones and not paying Saquon Barkley. He leads the NFL in rushing with 1,392 yards.
Pretty good.
Derrick Henry has 1,100. Nobody else has 1,000. He also has 10 rushing touchdowns, which actually is amazing considering you have the ultimate touchdown vulture in Jalen Hurts.
It's
stealing him with tush pushes.
How many of his touchdowns? Well, and this is why. How many of his touchdowns are like that last night, too, where they're just running away from the defense, long touchdown runs?
It seriously feels like the last four or at least 40 yards.
For sure.
Do you know what he's averaging per carry? Or like ballpark, you won't get the exact number. But
6.2.
Wow. 6.2 yards per carry. So he leads the league in rushes. He leads the league in rushing yards. He is on pitch. So a couple questions with Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Does he get to 2,000 rushing yards?
I'm going to say no.
He is on pace.
I don't feel super strong about that. I'm going to say no.
Okay. I say yes. He is on pace for it, but we'll see. They might start to rest him a little bit because they have, they're 9-2. They're currently the 2 seed right now, I believe, in the NFC. So they're playing really well.
I think the other question I was just looking up myself. Go for it.
Will he get serious MVP consideration?
That's why he's the MVP!
Here are the GOATs right now. Or the GOATs. Here are the odds right now, I should say. I was waiting for that. That's why he's the GOAT!
He's the GOAT!
Josh Barkley might be the GOAT.
Josh Allen plus,
the one, GOAT!
Plus 150.
Josh Allen plus 150. Okay.
Lamar Jackson plus 275.
Okay.
Saquon plus 500.
So he's third.
Yep, he's ahead of Goff, Mahomes, Herbert, all other quarterbacks.
All right, so what would have to happen for Saquon to win the MVP? Allen and Lamar kind of stumble a little bit.
Yeah,
their teams
have to stumble a little bit because Philly's. When I said Lions are clear cut best team in the league, Philly's right behind them.
They're 9-2.
Philly's defense is scary.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley's a machine. They have AJ Brown. They didn't even have Devontae Smith last night. Hasn't been the greatest year for Jalen Hurts. Those teams would need to stumble on the field.
Yep.
Allen and Lamar would need to play kind of pedestrian. And you need some sort of signature moment beyond like the reverse hurdle that he did.
Oh, that was sick.
Or even the runaway touchdowns last night. You need like a signature moment for Saquon Barkley in a big game.
Philly needs to help him out. Oh, by the way, they play.
That's what I was going to say. Who do they play down the stretch?
Lamar and Baltimore this week.
Okay, so that would
head
help.
Head to head with Lamar.
That would help a ton. Oh, is that? No, that's not a Thanksgiving game.
No, it's a Sunday 4:25 CBS game. Then they have the Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants. So they have all these division games. But he could absolutely rack it up against Carolina and even Pittsburgh. Also, I don't know if Philly cares about it, but in all seriousness, maybe give him a couple of end zone touchdowns. If he had 20 touchdowns, his case looks so much different.
2,000 yards, Keith, would be a big milestone. Like, if you get 2,000 yards, you're going to get MVP consideration.
But you need a ton of touchdowns, I think.
But they should start piling. Forget the tush push.
Yeah.
Forget the stupid tush push. It's cheap anyway. Move on from it. I'm not a Saquon Barkley owner, unlike the man to my left.
Yes.
So Keith has a vested interest in this, a dog in this
agonizing.
Fight. I do not.
Do you know how many rushing touchdowns?
But they could pump up his MVP candidacy by giving him some short touchdowns. That's true.
Do you know how many Jalen Hurts has? Just rushing touchdowns. 11 touchdowns. He has more than Barkley.
That's crazy. So and they're all from a yard away, probably.
Much, yeah,
I mean, just
much,
about. Yeah.
Pretty much. So that's a killer. Anyway, there you go. There's what happened. And, of course, the night ends with a good one. Ravens and Chargers on Monday Night Football.
Should be a fun one tonight for sure. That is what happened. Your spin around the league week 12. I set aside this text just real quick, 37937.
Right. Uh-huh.
We were asking Hunter Henry about the laughing and the joking in the locker room.
Yeah.
We'll ask that.
Not our report.
No. Mark Daniels.
Yep.
And others noted it as well. Andrew Callahan, Greg Bedard noted that it was a strange locker room last night where they didn't seem to be taking the loss very hard. Text 37937. Guys, they didn't lose the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's true.
So if some guys were laughing and joking in the locker room, who cares?
They don't.
No matter what the coaches or players say or do, you criticize them. Well, number one, like, what are we supposed to compliment them after yesterday?
No, they played poorly.
Number two, Andrew Callahan called it one of the weirdest locker rooms he's been around after a bad loss.
Yep.
But Dard's like, I never saw this in the days after Marino when I was in Miami, Bragg.
Jay Fiedler?
Yeah.
Probably Fiedler.
So usually there's at least enough awareness. If you don't care all that much and you're laughing it off because you're not going anywhere, there's at least enough awareness when the media's in the room to lock it up a little bit. And they couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
So what does that say about Mayo and his grasp on the team? What does it say about where things are heading? I'd say nothing good, but you can jump in on it. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into Drake May, his turnovers, how concerning are those? And there's an interesting discussion that I caught in the pregame show yesterday from Ian Rappaport about whether or not Drake May is the guy in New England, which I found noteworthy because I thought that was a pretty clear answer.
We're asking that still.
So let's get into that next. I'm not sure Drake May did exactly that yesterday.
No, not a great game.
But I thought that was weird. In the middle of the NFL Network's Sunday pregame,
yep,
they have Rap Sheet on to talk about how the Patriots think Drake May is the guy.
Like, right, yeah.
Yeah, right.
We figured that.
Why is that a discussion?
He was the third pick in the draft, and he's played pretty well to this point. And everybody across the league acknowledges how bad the supporting cast is.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, look at what this guy's doing with that. Like, he's obviously the guy. So I don't know. Maybe he didn't have a lot of material, and he's like, let me just, you know, double down on this.
It's a light Sunday.
Like,
hey, ask me about Drake May.
I guess.
That struck me as odd.
He's the guy. They got the guy. That's all they have.
No, that's the way to say it.
It is kind of hilarious.
It's the only thing they have. They have the guy. They have no other guys.
No other guys.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because you see different versions of that sort of either tweet or, you know, we read it on the text line or we get calls. Be like, what they have. And it's Drake May. And then honestly, not just because we talked to him today, but people are like Christian Gonzalez and then Hunter Henry. As far as like professionals on the team and guys that you would want on the team next year, out of 53 guys, there's like 2.5 of them.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
That's insane.
That's not great.
Like if they said, hey, we're getting rid of every player at this position group, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, sure. Go
for it. As long as it's not Drake May.
Yeah, burn it to the ground.
Take them. Take them away.
You had a good tweet during the game yesterday, Keith.
Thank you.
Not to pat you on the back too much.
Yep.
Let me get it for you here.
Oh, about what they need next year?
Yeah, Keith did another offseason wish list.
Yep.
A wide receiver who can catch. I'm sorry, wide receivers, plural, yes, who can catch.
Multiple.
Offensive linemen who don't commit penalties.
That'd be nice.
Defensive players who tackle.
Yep.
And a head coach who has a clue.
Yeah, I know.
I'd say that's a pretty good starting list for what the Patriots need. Yeah.
And, you know, most of the responses to that were in agreement, but they also said, why don't you add GM and owner? Because people were just so mad watching the game that they were like, the GM is so bad. Look, the roster is so bad, which is true. Which, between the GM and the coach, though, which one do you think should have more of like an impact in 1 year? Like, should you be able to see the signs of, like, a good head coach or a good GM after 1 year? I think it's kind of the coach.
I think it's also the coach.
Because
it's not just about the wins. It's like, how is this guy ever... There's so much going? He needs to figure it out. How's he ever going to figure it out?
I'm by no means championing Elliott Wolf's offseason.
No, me neither. But at least Elliott Wolf hit on Drake May.
He hit on Drake May. And I also think that Robert Kraft is the main reason why they don't have Calvin Ridley or guys like that.
Right.
Not that he's the greatest thing in the world, but he was somebody that they were at least negotiating with. I'm sure Elliott Wolf was told, here's how much money you can spend. So he did the best pitch he could, and he was like, all right, we can't spend money. Now, that doesn't excuse him for Chukwuemeka for every draft pick rounds 2 through 7. Like, he's been bad. But I'm saying, like, in the world of being patient when it's difficult to, I would say being patient with the GM makes more sense than being patient with the head coach.
Wolf's been like regular bad.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo, rather, has been historically
like
bad.
All over the map.
In terms of the PR and that sort of stuff, historically bad. Like a joke, embarrassing. So, yeah, we're not defending Elliott Wolf, but if it's an either or, we're going to sound like we're defending him a little bit. Yeah, I think you could tell more about the coach in year one than a GM, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, Keith, the tweets that I got yesterday in-game, here's two examples.
Yeah. The C's were angry, my friend.
This one at Jones WEEI.
Yeah.
Call for Mayo's head tomorrow, Jones. This is Dick McPherson-level stuff.
Wow.
Richard, also on Twitter, at Jones WEEI, not Rich Keefe.
No.
I sure wish Robert Kraft cared as much about having a winning team than he does about getting into the Hall of Fame. But maybe that's just me.
Yeesh.
So, like, people were out yesterday.
People were mad. People were
angry,
really mad.
Angry with ownership, angry with the GM, calling for the coach's head. That was not just a regular run-of-the-mill loss yesterday. That was next-level stuff.
It stung.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to all your feedback on Drake May, on Jerod Mayo, his job security. Let's get back into the locker room, the aftermath of that blowout loss yesterday. People were pissed. Fans were pissed. Sounds like the players weren't so much. So what does that mean for Jerod Mayo moving forward? How much of that is a reflection on him? Plus, we'll still be joined by Christian Gonzalez at some point here on a Patriots Monday. It all comes your way next.